The last Masechta in Seder Nashim also. We start from Beis Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah tells us, Ha'isha niknes b'shalosh drachim v'kona es atzma b'shtei drachim. Niknes b'chesef b'shtaru b'biya, b'chesef b'shamay omer b'dinar u'v'shavet dinar u'v'sil omer b'fruta v'shamay pruta, v'chama hi pruta echad mishmona b'isar ha'italki, v'kona es atzma b'get u'v'misas habal. The Mishnah begins a very, very famous Mishnah that there are three ways to acquire a woman via Kiddushin. There are three methodologies of Kiddushin, and there are two ways in which a woman can acquire herself back. So the three methods of Kiddushin, of course, are Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. Either of those methods are valid for Kiddushin, as Gemara is going to point out later. Basmana said we do not do Bia for Iris. In fact, the Gemara later says that Rav used to give Malkus to people who would do that because it was considered to be a form of Pritzus. But when it comes to Kesef, the Mishnah has a Machlok as how much Kesef do you need to give in order for the Kiddushin to be Chal. It's Machlok between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Is it a pruta or something worth a pruta? Is it a dinar or something worth a dinar? We, of course, posit like Beis Hillel that it must be worth at least a pruta or an item. In other words, either a pruta literally or an item worth a pruta. The Mishnah just clarifies that a pruta is 1/8 of an Italian isar, so it's actually 8 prutos in the Gemara's denomination, which is a pruta in the Italian currency. And the two ways in which a woman acquires herself back is either via a get when she's divorced or when her husband dies. Then finally, the Mishnah says, "Hayavama niknes bevia v'kona esatzma b'chalitzo v'misas hayavam." When it comes to yibam, so the only way that a yavama can be acquired via yibam is only through bia. That is the only method in which it can be acquired, and the way in which she gets her freedom and when she's released is either through chalitza or if the Yavam dies. So asks the Gemara. The Gemara now is going to go through a whole series of textual questions on this Mishnah and also how this Mishnah lines up with the Mishnah in the beginning of the second parak on Daf Mem Aleph. So the Gemara says, Ha'isha niknes, Maishna hacha desani ha'isha niknes, u'maishna hasam desani ha'ish mekadish. So the first question the Gemara addresses, again a textual one, is the difference not in terms of the focus of man versus woman. We're going to get to that question a little bit later. The first question the Gemara wants to know is why are there different verb forms? In our Mishnah, versus the Mishnah later on Daf Mamala. So in other words, specifically in our Mishnah, the verb form is niknes. A woman is acquired, and yet in the Mishnah on the Mamala from the beginning of the second parak, the verb form is mekadesh. In other words, the question is, the Mishnayos should have been consistent. In other words, even if you want to argue, as the Gemara is going to discuss later, why one Mishnah focuses on the woman and the other one focuses on the man, but in other words, either way, the verb form should have been consistent. In other words, either our Mishnah should have said, ha'isha miskadeshes, or the Mishnah on Mamala should have said, ha'ish kona. In other words, either one of those would have been consistent. So the Gemara says, no. Mishum de kabay lemisne kesef. The reason why our Mishnah uses the terminology of niknes of kinyan is because we want to highlight the methodology of a kinyan kiddushin of kesef, and kesef and kinyanim, of course, are associated. So asks the Gemara of the kesef menale, how do we know that kesef is a valid form of kiddushin? So the Gemara says, gamar kicha kicha misteyafrom ksev hacha ki ikach eshisha uksev hasam nasati kesef hasadeh kach mimeni vekicha ikre kinyan dechsev So the Gemara quotes a very famous Gzeir Shava of Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. The Gemara quotes a pasuk first from next week's parasha, from Parashas Ki Seitzei, which actually this pasuk is in the context of divorce. This pasuk we actually quoted on yesterday's daf, on Gittin Daf Tzadi. This was the whole pasuk where the Gemara had the three-way machlokas in the Mishnah yesterday about what's considered to be a legitimate grounds for divorce. But the way in which that pasuk opens is Ki Kach Ishisha, when a man takes a woman, and then the Pesukim get sidetracked about divorce, and the man hates the woman, etc., etc. But it starts out with the word Gikach, Ki Kach Ishisha. The Gemara derives Xerishav from a pasuk in Chayisara, Nasati Kesef Hasadeh Kach Mimeni, where Avram is trying to buy Ma'aras HaMachpelah from Ephron. He uses the term Kach, the term Kicha. How do we know that Kicha is called a valid Kinyan? So the Gemara quotes one of two psukim, either from Chayisara, Hasadeh Asher Kana Avraham, the field that Avraham purchased, or a pasuk from Sefer Yirmiyo, Sados Vakesef Yignu, that fields are purchased with Kesef. That's the reason why our Mishnah has to use the term Niknes as opposed to the term Miskadeshes. Just parenthetically, by the way, Tosos asks the question, why do we even need the Gzeir Shava of Kicha Kicha? Because there's basically two stages in the Gemara. There's a Gzeir Shava, and then afterwards the Gemara says, and by the way, how do we know that Kicha is even a Kenyan at all? Because of these two psukim, either from Chayisara or from Yirmiyahu. So the question is, why do I even need the Gzeir Shava? Just cut out the Gzeir Shava and skip to the last line of the Gemara. Just say, I know that Kicha is called a Kenyan because of these psukim. So Tosos says the reason why you can't do that is because these psukim the Gemara is quoting from Chayisara and from Yirmiyahu is only referring to purchasing fields, right? It's a Sados Pakesef Yiknu. It's talking about about Avraham purchasing Ma'aras HaMachpelah. But you wouldn't necessarily know that the same principle, the same concept that Kesef and Kicha are associated would also extend to Kiddushin. That's why you need the Gzeres Shava initially from Stei Ephraim. Okay, then the Gemara asks at the top of Amud Beis here, V'nisne Hasam HaIsh Koneh. Okay, so we've explained why our Mishnah needs to use the term Niknes, because we want to highlight the Kenyan of Kesef, but then why can't the Mishnah on Daf Memalef at the beginning of the second parak be symmetrical and say HaIsh Koneh instead of HaIsh Mekadish? So the Gemara says, no. Me'ikara Tanei Lishna de Oraisa Ula V'sov Tanei Lishna de Rabbanan Umai Lishna de Rabbanan de Asar La Akule Alma Kehekdesh. The Gemara explains that initially our Mishnah on Daf Beis is using a forceful terminology, a terminology of de'oraisa. Kinyanim is a concept de'oraisa. Whereas the Mishnah Memalef in the second parak is using a lashon midurabanan. What does that mean exactly? So the Gemara explains that the fact that we use the terminology of Kiddushin is that terminology is midrabanan. In other words, why is that terminology midrabanan? Because what you're effectively saying is that when you're Makadesh and Isha, it's the equivalent of Hektesh. It's like you're sanctifying an item. The same way that when I sanctify an item to the Beis HaMikdash, that item no longer belongs to me. It's sanctified. Nobody else can use it. So the same is true when it comes to being Makadesh and Isha, that you have exclusive rights over the woman. No one else has rights to her. Again, it's not, in other words, the Gemara is not saying that the concept of Kiddushin is derabanan. It's just saying that the term terminology, the fact that there's a connection between Hektesh and Kiddushin, that's a Dirabanan concept. Okay, then the Gemara asks, V'nisne hacha ha'ish kona. Now the Gemara gets back to what seems to be maybe the more blatant question, which is, why doesn't our Mishnah use ha'ish kona? Meaning, why focus on the woman and not on the man? Okay, so in other words, again, we already explained why we need to use the verb form of kona, of nicknames, but why can't our Mishnah focus on the man instead of the woman? In other words, because of ha'ish kona instead of ha'isha nicknames. So the Gemara says, Mishum de kabay lemis because the latter part of the Mishnah, which refers to a Yavama, by definition is only talking about the woman. So in order to be symmetrical, to parallel the language in the Seifa, the opening lines of the Mishnah also refer to the woman. Then the Gemara says, okay, why can't the Mishnah focus on both? Why can't the Mishnah discuss the fact that a man acquires the woman, but also the second half, the Makneh, is the fact that the woman can acquire herself back? Why can't the Mishnah focus on both? So the Gemara says, no. Mishum de'ika misas habal de'lav ihu kamakne min shemayahu de'makne la. So one answer in the Gemara is because one of the methodologies in which a woman, quote-unquote, acquires her freedom is not up to her or to the husband. The husband's death is not up to the husband, it's up to Hashem. As opposed to, for example, divorce, giving a get, which is within the husband's purview. So the reason why the Mishnah doesn't focus on the man's role is because not all ways in which a woman is released from marriage are up to the man. Some of them are up to God. That's one answer. The Iba Yesema, Itana Kona, Hava Amina Filu Baal Karcha, Tana Haisha Niknes, Demidaita In, Shalomi Daita Lo. The second answer, the second reason why the Mishnah is focusing on the woman's role as Haisha Niknes, as opposed to the man's role of Haish Kona, is because otherwise one might have thought that a man can be Makadesh and Isha even against her will, the same way that Mida Oraisa, maybe a husband can divorce his wife against her will. So the Gemara says, no. The Chiddush is that Ha'isha Niknes is that the woman can only be acquired with Kiddushin if she does so willingly, not against her will. So asks the Gemara then the next textual question, Umay Iriya Desani Shalosh Lisne Shlosh. Now the Gemara really gets into the weeds of the grammar of each and every word in the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah started out by saying, Ha'isha Niknes Bishalosh Derachim. The word Derachim, at least at this stage, the Gemara assumes, is in Lashon Zachar, and we know that when it comes to numbers, so numbers are actually a little bit backwards in terms of the gender of the numbers in Lashon HaKodesh, where you would normally think the word Shalosh is three in Lashon Zachar and Shlosha is Nekeva, but it's actually the opposite. Shalosh is Lashon Nekeva and Shlosha is Lashon Zachar. So the question is, the Mishnah, it would have been more accurate for the Mishnah to say Ha'isha Niknes B'Shlosha Drachim. Why instead does it say Shalosh in Lashon Nekeva if Drachim presumably is in Lashon Zachar? So the Gemara says, no, Mishum de Kabay Lemisne Derech, the Derech Lashon Nekevahu, Dichsiv, Vahodata Lohem as Haderech Yelechuva, because we wanted to teach the word Derech. Now, we thought a second ago that Derech was actually Lashon Zachar, but the Gemara says it's not true. The word Derech is actually Lashon Nekeva. How do we know that? Because we have a Pasuk in Parshas Yisro that says, Vahodata Lohem as Haderech Yelchu, Ba in it is in Lashon Nekeva. Had the word Derech been Lashon Zachar, it would have said Yelchu Vo. Then the Gemara says, hang on a second, the Elohadisanya, Beshiva Drach. drachim bod kenes hazav nisnei sheva. If what we're saying is true, that the word derech is lashon nekeva, and that's why the Mishnah uses the word shalosh as opposed to shlosha, then how do you explain the Mishnah that appears in Maseches Zavin? We actually also quoted this Mishnah at the very end of Maseches Nazir a couple of months ago, where the Mishnah is discussing the case of inspecting a man to see whether he's really a zav. The Mishnah at the end of Maseches Nazir and Maseches Zavin discussed this case about a person who's having what seems to be some kind of a discharge or some kind of an emission. We're trying to clarify whether that emission is the result of actual ziva or whether it's from some external function, whether it's because he ate too much, he drank too much, he was jumping around too much, he was doing something else, something external that's causing him to have the discharge. So the Mishnah says that there are seven possible mitigating factors that we can look at to say maybe this person is not really tameh as a zav. So the Gemara asks, well, the Mishnah, if again, grammatically speaking, the word derech is lasho nekeva, as the Gemara established before, it would have been more accurate for the Mishnah in Nazir and Zavin to say b'sheva drachim bod kenes azav as opposed to b'sheva, which again is lashon zachar. So the Gemara says no. Mishum de kabay lemisnei derech the ashkechon derech de ikre lashon zachar dechsev b'derech echad yitzeu elecha uvshiv aderachim yonusu lefanecha. The Gemara turns around and tells us no. Actually, the word derech is also lashon zachar. How do we know that? Because a pasuk appearing in a couple of weeks, Parshas Kisavo in the Tochacha, it says b'derech echad yitzeu elecha. So again, b'derech echad. If it was lashon nekeva, it would have been b'derech achas. So again, you see from here that the word derech is lashon zachar. So the obvious question is, ihachi kashu kraya adade v'kashin ami masnizin adade. Okay, so now we just have contradictions between psukim, between mishnayos. Is the word derech lashon zachar or is it lashon akeva? So the Gemara says no. Kraya hadade lakashin hacha devetora kai v'sora ikre lashon akeva dichsev toras hashem temima mishivas nafesh kasuv lach b'lashon akeva hasam devinul chavakai the darko shalish lasos milchama the ein darka shalisha lasos milchama kasuv lach b'lashon zachar. So there's no contradiction in terms of the psukim. Again, the first pasuk from Yisro that talks about as haderech yochuvah in lashon nekeva, the pasuk in Kisava talks about bederech echad in lashon zachar. There is no contradiction. Why not? Because the pasuk in Yisro is in the context of matan Torah. Torah is always in lashon nekeva. Why is that? Because a famous pasuk from Tehillim that says Toras Hashem Temima Meshivas Nafesh. So Toras Hashem Temima is lashon nekeva. So you see that Torah is in lashon nekeva. So that pasuk in Yisro that refers to derech in the context of Torah is lashon nekeva. Whereas the pasuk in the Tochacha of Kisavo is talking about the fact that the curse of the Jewish people, if we're not following Torah and mitzvos, is that we're going to be pursued by enemy armies. So that's talking about milchama. The Gemara coins a famous phrase that the Gemara says that darko shel ish la'asos milchama, that in darko shel isha la'asos milchama. It's only normal for men to engage in war and battle, and not so for women. And therefore, the Gemara says that's why the word derech in that context in Kisavo was specifically written in lashon zachar. So that explains the apparent contradiction between Sukim, it just depends on context. Similarly, the Gemara says, Masnisana Hadade Lokash, and there's also no contradiction between the Mishnayas. Hacha delegabe ishakai katani labilashone keva, hasam delegabe ishkai, de darko shall ish libadeg, the ain darka shall isha libadeg, de ha isha na mi baones metama, tane lashon zachar. There's also no contradiction between our Mishnah and Dav Beis about ha isha nicknames bishalosh derachim. That Mishnah was only focusing exclusively on the woman. It was the way in which a man acquires a woman through Kiddushin, so therefore the Mishnah felt it necessary or felt it apropos to use the word shalosh, which is lasho nekeva, as opposed to the Mishnah in Zavin and the end of Nazir that talks about inspecting a man to see whether he's really a Zav. So the Gemara explains that that is specifically in lashon zachar. Why? So the Gemara quotes again, the Gemara in Maseches Nazir quotes this idea as well, which is that, let's say when it comes to a woman who bleeds not during her normal cycle, so usually you would say if a woman bleeds not during her normal menstrual cycle, we consider her to be a Zava. Again, it depends how many times she bleeds, whether it's done on three consecutive days, whether she's a Zava Katana, Zava Gadola, that has certain ramifications for how long she's Temea, whether she has spring carbonos, it's a whole separate discussion. But the bottom line is that if a woman bleeds not during her normal menstrual cycle, she's considered to be a Zava regardless of any external factors, as opposed to a man, where the Mishnah in Zavin and Nazir was working very hard to say, well, if one of these seven mitigating factors exist, we say he's not really a Zav, it's the omission is coming from somewhere else, and that would actually say that he's not Tami, he's really not a Zav. When it comes to a woman seeing blood not during her normal menstrual cycle, we don't look at mitigating factors. We say she's a Zava regardless. It doesn't matter why she's bleeding or how she's bleeding. And therefore, since that halacha in the Mishnah in Nazir and Zavin is written exclusively for men, that halacha does not apply to women. Therefore, it's apropos to use the term Shiva in Lashon Zachar because the halacha exclusively applies to men. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "My taima tane shalosh mishum drachim nisne dvarim v'nisne shalosh." Okay, hang on a second. The reason why our Mishnah on Beis Aman Aleph felt compelled to use the word shalosh in Lashon Nekeva as opposed to shlosha in Lashon Zachar was because we've already established that at least in the context of our Mishnah, the word derech is in Lashon Nekeva. Again, at the very least in our Mishnah, we say that's true because the focus of our Mishnah is on the woman. But the question is, why don't we just change the word in the Mishnah? Okay, so in other words, you're right. If the Mishnah feels compelled to use the word drachim or derech, so in the context of our Mishnah, we have to use the word shalosh because in this particular context, derech is lashon okeva, as the Gemara already pointed out. But why can't the Mishnah instead of saying shalosh drachim, just say something like shlosha devarim? The word davar or dvarim is in lashon zachar. So then, in other words, that would have been an easy way to change the number in the Mishnah to be shlosha instead of shalosh. So the Gemara says no. Mishum de kabay lemisne bia ubia ikre derech dechsev derech gever be'alma kein derech isha menaf. The Gemara says the Mishnah specifically felt compelled to use the word derech as opposed to the word davar or dvarim because it wanted to highlight the method of kinyan for kiddushin of bia. And the pasuk in Mishlei refers to bia as a derech. Derech gever be'alma. The way of a man is to be with a woman. So too is the way of an adulterer. That's the pasuk from Mishlei. So the Gemara says, hang on a second. Hatenach bia kesef ishtar ma'yika l'neymar. So that's all well and good to explain why the Mishnah felt compelled to use the word derech as opposed to davar. And therefore, forces us to use the word shalosh in Lashon Nekeva as opposed to shlosha in Lashon Zachar because of bia. But what about the other two methodologies? In other words, what about kesef and shnar? Why does that explain why we have to use the word derech as opposed to davar? So the Gemara says, no, mishum bia. Again, as the Gemara pointed out, it's because of bia. That's the only reason why the Mishnah is using the word derech as opposed to davar. So the obvious question is, visani tarte atu chada. Why are we changing the terms in the Mishnah, the grammar of the Mishnah, for one out of three methodologies? In other words, granted that the word bia has an association with the word derech over the word davar, but the fact is that kesef and shtar are two-thirds of the kinyanim. So why wouldn't we use a word that's more closely associated with those two as opposed to bia? So the Gemara says, Hanach nami tzorech bianin. One answer in the Gemara is that even kesef and shtar are done for the purpose of bia. What does that mean? Because all three of these methodologies of kinyan and kiddushin are for the ultimate goal of nisuin, which will eventually lead to bia. Now, granted that the bia that's being performed here in the context of kiddushin is not itself the bia that we're referring to after nisuin. That's a separate thing. The bia of kiddushin is meant to acquire the woman. There's a separate maisa bia that happens once the nisuin is already effectuated. But at the end of the day, the Gemara says, bia is the ultimate goal. So therefore, because everything is a lead up to that, that's why we're using a term that's more closely associated with bia, even though technically speaking, there really are two out of three methodologies that are not bound to that language. That's one answer in the Gemara. The Iba Yaseima Hamani Reb Shimoni, Desanya Reb Shimon Umer, Mipenema Amra Torah, Kikach Ish Isha, Velo Kasa Kisi Lakach Isha Lish, Mipnesha Darko Shalish, Lechazer Al Isha, Vein Darka Shalisha, Lechazer Al Ish, Mashallah Adam Sha Avdalo Aveda, Michozer. So the other reason why the Mishnah uses the word derech as opposed to davar, and that's why we have to use shalosh as opposed to shlosha, says the Gemara, is because it's reflective of a famous opinion of Rav Shimon, which basically explains that the reason why the Torah employs the terminology of ki kach ish isha, when a man takes a woman, as opposed to the language of ki si lakach isha leish, which would mean something like when a woman is taken by a man, which again is passive language. The reason why the Mishnah uses the active verb form as opposed to the passive one is because it is normal for a man to pursue and seek out a woman and not vice versa. And the Gemara quotes a mashal that says that basically a man looks for his lost object. Adam Arishon lost his rib, Chava was formed, so man now seeks out his soulmate, seeks out his lost rib, and that's why the Mishnah uses that terminology, because it's always driven by, in other words, the focus in that context is driven by the man seeking the woman. Okay, then the Gemara asks, V'hadisnan b'zayim drachim bodkin es azav lisnei devarim. So now the Gemara circles back to that Mishnah we cited earlier, the Mishnah from Nazir and Zavin, about the seven mitigating circumstances when you investigate a man to see whether he's really a Zav or whether it's something external. Again, why does the Mishnah use the word Dirachim? Why not use the word Divarim instead and say Shiva as opposed to Sheva? So the Gemara says no. Hasam hakamash malan the darcha de mechla yaseira laasui lidei ziva v'darcha de mishya yaseira laasui lidei ziva. The Mishnah is highlighting the fact that, as we noted earlier, certain external factors like overeating or drinking too much can lead to ziva. Then the Gemara asks, "V'hadisnan esrog shaveli ilan begimel drachim lisnei devarim." There's a Mishnah Maseches Bikurim. This Mishnah is also quoted in a few other places in Sukkah and Maseches Rosh Hashanah as well. That there's a that an esrog is compared to a regular tree, to a regular fruit-bearing tree, with regards to three halachos. So again, the Gemara asks, why does the Mishnah in Bikurim use the word dirachim when trying to draw a comparison between an esrog and a tree? Why not use the word divarim instead? So the Gemara says, no, bishum deba'inan masnei seifa uli yarek b'derech echad, because we wanted to focus on the latter part of that Mishnah Bikurim, which says that an esrog, in contrast to the three ways in which we compare it to a regular fruit-bearing tree, it is compared in contrast to a vegetable in one regard. So because the Mishnah uses the term uli yarek b'derech echad, the first half of the Mishnah Bikurim also wants to parallel that by using the word derech begimel jurachim as opposed to devarim. So the obvious question is seifa nami nisnei davar. So okay, why can't the seifa? Yeah, exactly. That's the Gemara's answer. So why can't the seifa? Why can't the latter part of the Mishnah Bikurim say uli yarek b'davar echad as opposed to b'derech echad? So the Gemara says hasav hakamash malan de darche de esro ki yarek. Ma yarek darko li gadel al kol mayim uveshas lakita so isuro. Af esro darko li gadel al kol mayim uveshas lakita so isuro. The Gemara explains that the Mishnah in Bikurim is trying to highlight the fact that an esrog resembles a vegetable. In what sense? So first of all, an esrog, like vegetables, grow on water. They need a significant amount of rainwater. But in addition to that, they also require regular irrigation. And on top of that, the Gemara says that when it comes to determining what year of Maiser we're up to for an esrog or for a vegetable, you follow what's called Shas Lakita. There's a whole sugya about this that appears in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. It appears a little bit in Maseches Sukkah as well, which is the following question. We know that depending on the year of the Shemitah cycle that we're up to, that will determine whether we do Maiser Ani versus Maiser Sheni. Right? Depends if it's the first, second, fourth, or fifth. That's Maiser Sheni. The third and sixth is Maiser Ani. So the question basically becomes, how do I know what year is associated with this given vegetable or esrog? So there's a whole machlokas in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah and a few other places as well, whether you follow what's called Shas Chanata or Shas Lakita. Do you follow the time that the vegetable or the esrog took root, or the time that it was actually plucked off the tree or off of the bush? So the Gemara says, in this regard, we follow what's called Shas Lakita. Whenever the vegetable or the esrog was plucked off of the tree or the bush or whatever it was, that's the year, that's considered to be the year in terms of Maiser Sheni versus Maiser Ani. So the Gemara says, that's why we use the word derech in the Mishnah Bikurim as opposed to davar, because this is the way of the esrog. The esrog in this regard is compared to a vegetable.